time of looking at getting perspective on life and faith. We'll do a little introduction here, and then I'm going to have Shelter come forward and read the scripture passage. And what we're doing in looking at the book of Ecclesiastes is trying to get perspective on life and faith. And in this book, it does talk about, and continues the theme of wisdom. You know, that wisdom goes through those three books that we've been looking at. In wisdom, you want to know and understand God is a teacher. He loves to teach, and He loves us to be learning. And that is our process as a disciple. That's why we become a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're going to be learning from Him. And part of that experience of being a Christian is obviously always there's a need to teach, a need to be an example to others, a need to share with them where your faith, journey of faith is. Now, in this book of Ecclesiastes, what it's helping us to do is allow us to bring to the surface our lament, our sorrow before God that the condition of life in this world is broken. We live in a fallen world, and things don't work like they're supposed to work. We would love the ideal to be true. We would love to have an ideal world in which everything was perfect, but there's a contrast with the real. The reality isn't always so gentle with us. And that works out in a whole lot of ways. You know, when we're young, we may think we're almost invincible, but then we break an arm or we fall from a height and injure ourselves. The ideal is that we could actually fly. I remember as a kid dreaming that I could fly, and the truth is I can't. But I can on an airplane, but, you know, can't myself. Birds can fly, but not me. We are people who would love heaven to come to earth. We want heaven to be on earth. We want to be living in the best, in the blessing of heaven. We want to be living in paradise. It would be so nice when we're in paradise, because then we'll be back to just a wonderful, beautiful place. People may think that Hillary and I moving to Guam, you know, you can live in a tropical place and we can go back in the middle of winter, January, and say to them, boy, it's warm and, you know, it's 90 degrees here still. But Guam certainly doesn't look like a paradise all the time. Maybe if you're down in the Dusitani lobby, you think it's paradise. But there's a lot of ways in which it's not. And we know that. The reality is not going to match up with the ideal. And so that's where Ecclesiastes comes in. It's not easy to understand the world because you feel like we're chasing after the wind. The wind blows to the south, it turns to the north, round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. The writer says maybe our life is a little bit like chasing the wind. You can never catch it. And the moments of joy and triumph in our world seem so fleeting. They come and they go, and maybe we get a glimpse of what we hope would be paradise, and maybe sometimes we even feel like we're there. Maybe we're hanging in a hammock. My cousin was just visiting me from the Netherlands, and now they're in Maui. And he showed me his resort hotel, Maui, and this beautiful sunset. And maybe he's hanging in a hammock there. Or maybe you're sitting at the Grand Hyatt down there by the beach. And they have all these beautiful chairs set up there, beautiful limitless swimming pool. You may feel like you're in paradise then. But they're just glimpses, and you got to go back to real life after that. Oftentimes, it's like a fog that's burning away in the sun. Just doesn't have any substance. Yet, our truth as believers is to seek the wisdom of God. And this begins by learning to honor the Lord. Proverbs 2, verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding." If we honor the Lord for that, we can begin to experience His redemptive power. Our truth is to seek the wisdom of God. It begins by learning to honor the Lord. As the Lord's Prayer says, As Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. As the Lord's Prayer says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We can learn that. We can begin to exalt the Lord in the midst of our situation. We can learn that Jesus is a firm foundation, as the young people were singing. We can learn that we can draw close to the Lord and he will embrace us and answer us. We can learn that he is worthy of it all. Hallowed be thy name. Let us pray a moment, and then I'm going to have Shelter come forward and read the text of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Dear Lord, thank you for this scripture. Thank you for the Bible, the good book. And all of its parts are good for edification and growth in faith and knowledge of you. We pray that you will help us in that. We know that sometimes the scriptures are not so clear. Sometimes we're wondering why there's a long list of names in there. But there's wisdom to it as well, Lord. And we pray that we may have an experience of knowing more and learning more. Help us to be good disciples, Lord, in this time. Thank you that we come to church always with an open heart, ready to learn, hear how your Spirit is speaking to us. May that happen here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ecclesiastes 1:1-13. These are the words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its full of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind.
Thank you for the reading, Shelter. Thank you very much. It's very hard to read that passage because it's really... seems like it's very heavy. But if anyone lacks wisdom, they should ask God. God is happy to give it. He is one who provides. We are visiting the wisdom literature of the Bible. First, we looked at Proverbs. And today, we're looking at Ecclesiastes with a bow to the Song of Solomon at the conclusion. And once again, we recognize that in the book of Ecclesiastes, we see the writings of wise King Solomon. 1 Kings 4:29, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. There are people like that, people with that depth of wisdom, and you go to them and they're almost knowledgeable on any subject, but they have to learn it. You have to learn it, you have to ask good questions. And this is really what happens when we start to study the wisdom literature, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Now, Solomon ended up with a great deal of power, and he had great wealth. Now, when you have great power and you have great wealth, then you spend... And then you spend time learning all about the world. Maybe you one day feel tired of it all. Feel a little bit burnt out. Because if you have everything, you have no needs, you know, and if you've reached a certain pinnacle and you have a certain amount of power, you kind of realize that maybe life is just a dead end. Or life is just a big circle. It just keeps going around and around again. Because when you're in that position of being great power and great wealth, like King Solomon, you're not busy enough to keep your mind occupied, and you have too much to be truly content. You just feel discontent. And not being content is a problem. That's when the meaninglessness sets in. So the book of Ecclesiastes becomes a testament to the futility of running around like a hamster on a wheel. Maybe we feel like that in terms of our lives. You know, you get up on Monday morning, you know, you work until Friday, and then you finish up a weekend, and, you know, your tasks just keep on going. You know, I'm a pastor. Every week I have to produce a sermon, and you have to, you know, deal with people, and congregation is, people are never always content. There are always things that ruffle the surface of our lives. And sometimes you can feel like a hamster on the wheel. You can feel like the striving in this world is actually getting you nowhere. You're pushing this rock up the hill, and there really is no point to it. The writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, is saying it's meaningless. It's meaningless because he's saying, what do people gain from all their toil under the sun? What is the use? What is the purpose? Are we achieving anything of lasting value? All these questions. He's asking these questions, and he's, you know, the book of Ecclesiastes is split into two parts. First part, 111 verses, investigate the world, why it's, you know, like this. And the second part teaches why it's like that and what we're supposed to do with it. Because no matter how much you achieve, and no matter how many cities you conquer, and I think of, you know, go back in history, great empires like the Roman Empire, or you think about Attila the Hun, who came riding out of the steppes and conquered city after city. No matter how much you achieve, no matter how much you conquer, no matter how many trophies you put into your trophy cabinet, no matter how many speed or distance records you set, the truth is none of it lasts. One generation will leave everything to a new generation. Someone faster comes along. Someone stronger. Someone more successful. And so it becomes meaningless. Have you thought about these things before? How many New Year's Eves have you lived through? Perhaps at each time a New Year's day, evening, eve, and night, day come around, you promise yourself you're going to remake yourself and start over. You're going to, you know, fulfill these resolutions. And you find that you're back where you started. The year progresses. Meaningless, meaningless. That's what Ecclesiastes 1 says. So what is the point? What is the point? Teacher says, meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And then Solomon uses all these metaphors that make perfect sense. One generation leading into a new generation. I think this picture really represents the great-grandmother, the great-granddaughter, or son, and a couple other generations in between. Her daughter and her granddaughter. Now he's saying one generation leads to a new generation, and you were a child with a grandmother and a grandfather, and perhaps you had a great-grandmother and then a great-grandfather. Does anyone here know the name of their great-grandfather, great-grandmothers? Some people do. I couldn't name them right off the top of my head. But then one day you become, from a child who has a grandmother, or maybe even a great-grandmother, you become a child, and then you become a mother. Another day you become a great-grandmother. And the child you see before you could go through the same cycle. And the result is generations stretching over thousands of years. There's a sense in which time does not start out brand new, but seems really, really old. And you've heard the expression, perhaps, same old, same old. Just keeps going around and doesn't return to anything new. The world doesn't seem to offer you anything new. And then the writer of Ecclesiastes uses these other examples. The rising and setting of the sun comes back day after day. One day we shall see a sunrise again, and one day we'll see a sunset again. It's been missing for about 5 days because the storm hasn't been very bad, but it's been bad enough to really cloud the skies. But that sun is still rising and setting as it has since the day you were born. Or the blowing of the wind. I put a wind vane there. The wind has a mind of its own. It can blow in every direction. Ever had to bike home? Maybe when you were biking away from home, the wind was behind you, or you were fighting the wind, and you thought, well, I'm on the way back, it would be behind me. When you come back, you're fighting the wind again. You don't know which direction the wind is going to go, and it's going to come back another day to blow again, chasing after the wind. And then the water cycle. Water gets picked up into the clouds over the ocean, and they get poured out on the mountains. Maybe they turn into snow, and the snow melt then turns into streams and rivers and, you know, comes down lower valleys into the rivers. And this all flows back into the sea again, and then it comes picked up by the clouds and goes back again, the water cycle. And once again, nothing really changes. Things seem timeless. There's no change. Time just continues to go around and around. And where are we at with this book of Ecclesiastes? How is it helping us? Well, we need to make a confession as Christians. God has put us into this framework, this world, this life, to make a contribution. We are called to make a difference. And even though it feels like it is meaningless, one moment, let me take a break on a water. The water right here. And take it with me. We are maybe insignificant. Maybe we feel insignificant. We don't feel like we're able to do very much. But in the fact that we're able to give and receive, we can make the most of our time. We can do various things. And we have a time given. And that's why the book of Ecclesiastes has those passages about time. It's a time for everything under the sun. It's a time to plant and time to dig up. A time to build and a time to tear down. A time to love, a time to hate. It's a time for all of these things. How do you make the most of your time? Well, fill your lives with love. Fill your lives with love of God and fill your lives with love for your neighbor. Make sure that you're a person who's freely giving love to the world. Freely giving love because that is your contribution. That is a confession we make as Christians to offset that meaningless issue. It's crucial, it's important. For everything, there is a season, a time for everything under the sun. Everything is made beautiful in its time. What you have to do is learn to be content within the framework you have been given. Learn to be content. Because to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, Ecclesiastes as a book comes in the framework of the scriptures. And the larger context of Ecclesiastes is a grand biblical drama of how it begins in Genesis with God's glorious creation. He makes it beautiful. He sees it's good. And then there is a fall, a tremendous fall, of crash, a venture of sin that stains and ruins everything. It touches everything. And it becomes the devastation of the earth. And there, of course, God comes to set boundaries in this, but he puts a curse on the world. And we have to deal with those curses until there's such time as God's redemption plan unfolds in Jesus Christ, who is the antidote to the curse. He's the one who offsets it, who rebukes it, who actually turns it over. And he releases in us the power to love and the grace to love so that we can be making our contribution to the world. Well, ultimately, it's leading to a restoration, a perfect restoration, a moment when hopes will be realized, when dreams will be fulfilled, when things will be healed and restored and renewed in God's holy way. Therefore, the wise way to live right now is to accept, deeply accept, there is disappointment woven inescapably into the very fabric of this life because God has allowed it. He's allowed his good creation to be infected by sin, but he is going to be working in the midst of it to redeem the time, to give us the time to make good. And that the disappointment is part of it, and we have to live with it. But even though we have disappointment in our ideals and our dreams and our hopes and our aspirations, life ends up being broken in so many ways. We just don't experience triumph and the glimpse of heaven. You know, we just know it. It's running right through our families all the time. We end up with pain and we end up with difficulty. But the wisdom comes from knowing that disappointment is part of life. We have to deal with it. We have to grapple with it. We have to be able to overcome it. And then just realize that there are simple things from the Lord, goodness from him, that we can enjoy. There are simple pleasures generously given by God along the way. And this is a beautiful example of it. This little kid feeding a couple of ducks. And perhaps that's me downstairs feeding a few kittens, you know, who are living out in the jungle. These simple pleasures generously given by God along the way. We would be foolish to idealize what this world can offer. There is realism that offsets the idealism. And to be honest and confront the reality of what we're dealing with, what we're coping with, is part of the wisdom of God. But we would also be equally foolish to miss out on our opportunity for joy by being a sulker, by just saying, oh, it's terrible, I'm disappointed. Oh, you know, you sulk. And you just don't have a smile for anybody. You don't have any sense of joy. You don't have any sense of peace. And wisdom is saying, no, I'm not going to just sit in my corner and moan, but I'm going to embrace the world. I'm going to walk through the valley of struggle and difficulty and seek to come out the other side. We, in humility, we accept the losses and enigmas of this life. There are losses and there are mysteries, and there are answers we're not going to get from life. And we, with humility, accept that. That's wisdom. And then, by faith, we stay alert to the goodness of God in it all. We trust the Lord for him working his purpose out in the midst of this life here. God's goodness shows up in our lives every day. And this is our faith and our trust in him. And this is where we look, turn now to the Song of Solomon for just one moment. It's called sometimes the Song of Songs. And what that book does is it describes the beauty of love. My example of this, heart-shaped out of flowers. But it does, in the Book of Solomon, it says love is beautiful. And when love can be given and received, it's a beautiful thing. And what it needs, what it tries to help us realize is the need to be ready to learn how to give and receive what God has given us. to give and receive what God has given us, to give blessing to the world. And the essence of blessing is to love the world and embrace it. To be able to love it even though it brings us disappointments and it brings us difficulty. The Song of Songs anticipates some beautiful things. It's really symbolical of the joy of salvation we experience when we enter the chamber of redemption in Jesus Christ. It's provided to us by our Shepherd King. And in the Shepherd King, we find our fulfillment. That's what Song of Solomon points to. That there is a delight in knowing that we are saved by God's grace and we are living in His favor and we are able to serve Him and love Him in everything we do. And because we experience the Shepherd King who's good and faithful, we sing what a friend we have in Jesus. We sing, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, because He is worthy of our praise. That in that we make every contribution we can in the time we have been given. That's wisdom. That's what Ecclesiastes is trying to tell us. Fear God. Know that He is the beginning of wisdom. Obey Him. Listen to His commands and make them central to your life. But above all else, love Jesus and follow Jesus, and make every contribution you can in the time you've been given. Alleluia. Amen. Remember, Ecclesiastes 12:9-10 says, not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. Thank you. Thank God for the Scriptures. Amen. Dear Lord, thank You for the book of Ecclesiastes concluding with that. And thank You that we can ponder this fallen world. And we can accept the fact that there will be disappointments along the way. But we are asking You, Lord, to renew our hope and transform our minds to continually seek to live in a wise way. Lord, we pray that You will help us to have the perseverance to get through the times when things are not working out the way they should. When we experience ourselves being banged up and dented by the experiences of life, when we feel ourselves with scrapes and sores and bruises from just living in a world where things are far from perfect. But we thank You, Lord. You set before us a vision of revelation, the end of the chapter. There's a stream flowing from Your throne, making healing happen, fulfillment be ours. We thank You, Lord, that in Jesus Christ, our hopes and our dreams are fulfilled. Bless His holy name. Amen.